How many know that we are actively engaged in frontier evangelism or world evangelism? The two brothers that just left, the Indian brothers, they had to leave. The man from the bus station called early and said, Sister Pikes, I understand it. Two of the Indian brothers were supposed to catch a bus here, and they're going to miss it if you don't do something. Oh, they had to leave. They rearranged their time, give them a little longer to stay, and they've really enjoyed their stay, don't you think, Frank? They've been entertained by Brother Taylor and Brother Mike Bradley, and I talked with them a little myself. They were taken out to lunch a number of times. People of renown from around the world come here. Got a letter from out of Africa, a man that has been with the ministries. I think their headquarters is in California. That's been with them for quite a number of years over in Africa. I can't think of the name of the place. We get mail out of so many places out of the continent of Africa. So I don't know what little country it was as to the... whether it was Uganda, Kenya, or whatever, we get mail out of all those places. But he said that he had gotten a hold of our literature and our ministry. And for some reason, he had broke off with the ministry that he'd been with for years and said, Brother Pike, I want to understand this doctrine. I want to come under the leadership of Bethlehem or the Brethren. And he said, I have a church here of 500 people. And of course, such letters we get all the time from all over the world, from out of the islands, from our radio broadcasts, from our tent meetings, from our crusades, or whatever it might be. All the time there's mail coming in from all over the world, and some with a regularity. So we are grateful for this. But I said that to try to explain something. First of all, it's not very comfortable in here. It's a little warm, so I'm going to take off my coat. If you got one, you'll probably take it off too. And if you get any warmer than that, you'll probably leave me. But in the event that you do stay here, we're going to mention some things. And I dropped my coat. Had to pick it up. It reminds me of my wife. She kept trying to give me my hat, or my cap it was. Over in the morning, she said, you need to go to bed. I said, no. And I dropped the cap. She picked it up and I dropped the cap. She said, you see there? I said, you can't even hold a cap. You need to go to bed. But anyway, I think it was my fault. I'm not sure, but I think I might have been the one that didn't get a hold of it good. But as pertaining to what we're speaking of, I wasn't going to mention this because I really need to have a little conference with some of my chief leaders as to a special meeting, and what I need to do would require slides, some video, some artwork, and some blueprints, and a number of other things to be able to do what I have in mind as to express myself concerning the things that we have in mind or what God has indoctrinated us with. And that's why I'm reluctant a lot of times to say anything here. Not altogether because I have children, because some of my children are more of a man than some of my men folk. And they stay with me when my men folk get weary and leave. As the Bible said, be not weary in well doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. They stay with me. But I do have little ones. I have babies, even though we have nurseries up there. Sometimes the little ones aren't too comfortable up there. They're supposed to have some fans up there. And the air conditioners are supposed to be going when it's hot. But we don't have anybody that will take care of throwing them on and turn them off. And same way with the heat. So I just have to go along with it to do the best I can. I instruct them, but they still don't do it. I just have to go along with it. But in that we have these problems, then I'm reluctant to talk with you here as a whole. So I'll get with the different ones. I have a meeting, have a little legislative board. We get together, we form our government as to the constraints of the campground of the people, or as to whatever the Lord is doing in bringing in the millennium, or bringing in his heavenly government, as to his will being done on earth as in heaven. We go with the sons of God, and then they take it to their wives or to those that are true children of God. So I'm reluctant to try to say anything here, because merely talking to you, it's difficult sometimes. But if I preach at you and scream at you and I holler and stomp my foot a little bit or pop my hands, I kind of keep you awake. So, through the foolishness of preaching, it pleased God that men might be saved. I'm reluctant to talk with you even as I am tonight. But before I left home, though I had no intentions of mentioning anything about what I was going to do as to my work, yet the Lord dealt with my heart, and for some reason I feel that he wants the lady folks to understand this and be in on it just like the men folk. So it concerns them, and of course some of them are interested. I have some women that are more interested than their husbands when it comes to world evangelism. And they live straighter lives and better lives. Some of the men are frivolous. Some of the women are very devoted. Whereas I find it the other way too. I find some women are very frivolous and some men are very devoted. But I do have some women that are devoted to Christ and to his cause, as to great women, as Paul termed it. So for some reason I felt like that I was supposed to mention these things to you. I don't know as to what extent I'll mention them. Glad to have little Matthew's home. I felt like his crisis had to do with about 3 days concerning the hospital and severeness, and it worked out exactly that way, even so much that the doctors were amazed at it. These things I mentioned to you. Some people get offended. Some people mock. Some people are not very serious. They listen reverently, but so far as being related to it in any way as sons and daughters of God, it doesn't affect them. Though it sounds interesting, but as to a human side of it or an intellectual side of it, they listen at it. And at church, you usually don't do this because people come to hear you preach. And if you don't preach, they don't understand what you're doing. But the house of God is not a place to where you come to preach. It is a place to where you come to plan strategy for soul winning. He that winneth souls is wise. And when I established this church, I told the people, I said, now, this is not a community church. Though you have community churches, that's fine. And certainly it is a community church. To all that love this church, that want to come and be a part of the community, or a part of the church, that's great. But I said, this is definitely not a community church. This is a base for world evangelism. And we have a church here for you to come to worship in. We have a school here. If you want to put your children in, you can be part of this operation. You're more than welcome. And we've continued in our tent crusades and whatever to make it world evangelism, our missionary endeavors. But we do have a good time here in the Lord as a community church, as a people that love the Lord and are greatly respected by many people around Monroe and around the world. We do have problems out of the baser sort. Paul called them the baser sort. They give him problems. This are those that are a base that's filthy and dirty, that's got to have something like an old dog, a bone to gnaw. And we have a few that come in out of the church. They get to gnawing the bone with them, because if you got two dogs, both of them's going to gnaw a bone. And they used to have a little saying, a dog that'll bring a bone, he'll carry a bone. You know. So we have them in the church too. The Bible speaks of them as false brothers and false sisters. And a lot of times they're just intellectual people. They enjoy coming. The tare gets the rain as well as the wheat. So they enjoy the singing and the clapping and the good things, the promises to the securities of God. And that the Bible says that God has given us all things that pertain unto life. So they come, but really, so far as being a part of our work, when it comes to Calvary, it comes to the cross, they're not part of that, which means they're not part of the crown, and that a cross is a forerunner of a crown. So they don't sacrifice financially, they don't sacrifice physically, they don't sacrifice in any way as to take any cross. They're either sick, or they're indisposed, or there's something wrong. They're in a tight, or they got a problem, or they had to go somewhere, or they couldn't get there on time. But then I have others that, irregardless of all the problems, they work, whether they're sick or whether they're well. I like people in the world. I've mentioned my wife's dad, a great warrior. They work. Paul out there the other night was sick, very sick. But he worked. And a night or two, he has been in misery and pain. He still worked. As a matter of fact, he left and went home because he had gotten in misery so much. And he said, well, I feel better over there and I do at home. So he come back over in the middle of the morning. And he said he'd been feeling better than he has in a long time. He's been doing the things of God. So there's people that are going to work. They're industrious. They're going to work. It doesn't matter what's wrong with them. They're going to work. There's people that are going to testify of the greatness of God and the love of God. And those that have seen the great fruits of Canaan, they're going to testify that our God's able. And God's going to count them of a different spirit. And in that they call those things that are not as though they are by faith. They're the victor. They're going to win out. Whereas the others are always testifying of the giants, the problems, the sicknesses, whatever. They're not very much light to anybody. And they discourage the hearts of the people. And as it was in the early church, the earth opened up and swallowed the church in the wilderness. And it's doing the same thing today. The flesh, which is made out of the dust, is gullibly opening up and swallowing up the angelic spiritual being that dwells within the little body of clay because of their testimony that is so negative, never testifying as to positive things in the mind of Christ, as to God's ability, and it upsets God. In that in the wilderness, the Bible said they limited the Holy One. When God done all kind of things, and it was said, can he prepare a table in the wilderness? And the Bible said that God brought in quails, so many that they could wade in the quails. He brought them in like the dust, like the sand by the seashore. And then when they ate, wanting meat, the Bible said he slayed the fattest among them because he was angry. So we limit the Holy One by our unbelief, and that really upsets God. So when I say something here as to advancement or enlargement or to world evangelism, people mock because in their minds they're very small. They look at things in a minute way, and they're here on the home front, and they never see beyond that. But we as people, or some others that go with me, that go abroad throughout the world, they see the need, they see the hunger, they see the good that's being done from this as to Bethlehem, where as Paul said, your faith is spoken of throughout the world as to a people. So it is with little Bethlehem. And they don't mock. But as it was with Abraham, there was Isaac, and then there was the bonds child. Ishmael always mocked Isaac. And because of that, the mother declared he could not be heir with her son as to the wealth of Abraham. And he was driven out, and God accepted it. And so then the child of flesh, the worldly child, the gullible desires of Satan that finds its place in the mind of a child of the flesh, in that they are in the flesh, and God is not the God of the flesh, but the God of the Spirit. Satan being the God of the flesh, they savor the things that be of the flesh. Satan being the God of this world of vanity, in that Solomon said all is vanity, vanity, and vexation of the Spirit, the earth, the world, all of that, the pride of life, all these things passing away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. To be carnally minded is death, to be spiritual minded is life. Ishmael always mocked Isaac. So today the fleshly child, as to the fleshly indoctrination, as to the fleshly desire, as to the fleshly love of the world, and the Bible said if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. The bonds child always mocks the free child. Lightly esteems what he says, and whatever the Spirit wants to do, or the child of God as to the sons of God, then the earthly child has no interest, because that is not to the satisfying of the flesh. Therefore, there is no interest. Satan kindles, stimulates, encourages things that be of the flesh, because he is the God of the flesh. Being cut off from the Spirit, He dwells in the flesh. But the Bible said you're not in the flesh as to your angelic being or the inner man. He's been released at death. The Spirit went back to God who gave it. And you are dead to the things of the world by the body of the Lord Jesus. Your body has been planted in a watery grave in the name of the Lord. Your angelic being has gone back to God who gave it. And God doesn't see you as a fleshly being anymore because of sin. The Bible said the body's dead. He has to look beyond the body because of sin as to the infiltration of the body as to Lucifer and his mind being in the body from the first birth as to the first man Adam. So that tree is cut down. The family tree as to the tree of knowledge is cut down from Calvary. John laid the axe to the root of the tree and it's cut down. And now there's another tree called the tree of life. As to the beginning of the creation of God, as to the resurrection, as to the Lord Jesus, the first brother among many brethren, now there's another tree, even the tree of life. And Jesus said to the woman, if you should have asked of me water, you would have never come to this well to draw again. For this would have been a well of water springing up out of your innermost being into rivers of living water. The cup overflowing, that means that we are today members of the new tree, the tree of life, even the tree of life, even bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. In that Jesus said concerning a tree, as to a human being, he said if they do this in a, these things in a green tree, in that he was full of the love of God and trees being full of the sap of life, he said, what will they do to you that don't have God? As to the Jews who had never received the infilling of the Spirit, as to a dry tree, what will they do? And in that we are the vine, as Jesus said, and ye are the branches. As long as you abide within the vine, ye shall bring forth much fruit. But if you get your ideas to do your own thing, to cut yourself off from the vine, you may have life for a while, and the limb may look green. It may look green. But after a while, it'll wither up. And the Bible said, men gather them to throw them into the fire. But in that there's only one vine, and that's the Lord Jesus. There's only the branches of that one vine is to the church that brings forth much fruit. In that the Bible said it's God's pleasure to give you the kingdom and that you should bring forth much fruit. That means there's only one husbandman, that is the Father. That is the Father. And the vine is full of the sap of God. He is the life of it. To get away from that means that you lose out altogether. As the old Indian tribes, there was a chief. And then following that chief, there was other chiefs, and then other chiefs. And as it is, there are children, and there are grandchildren. And there are, again, great-grandchildren. And on down the line, and soon the great chief becomes a god, because it is a blood lineage, and down the road, many, many generations away, he becomes a god. Whereas being one church, as to Pentecost, God has done the same thing. As to the tree of knowledge, it started with Adam. As to Abraham, we say father of the faithful, in that he started something as to the faith when he offered his son. Adam, as an Eve, the mother of all living, so as an Adam, all die because he's the father of all generations. And then, as it is with God, he knew that that would be of Lucifer, that would be of the flesh. And the only way that he could have a godship as to his people, he had to start him a generation. Whereas the Bible speaks of Jesus being cut off, who shall declare his generation? We're here to declare his generation in that he hath many children. And God, personifying himself in a human form, came down to earth and started himself a generation that has sprang out into a great family tree as to a tree of life and many branches. And from that, it is today that he is our God. Though he is a human being, he's the great chief. And the only human body as to what God could put himself in, so he is our God. That is to say, he is our heavenly Father. As it was with Moses, when God said, Moses started the thing for Israel. He said, I have made you God unto Aaron. the great chief. And as it was when Jesus came, the Israelites today, their great God is Moses. So when I spoke of the Messiah returning not too long ago to some Jews, they said, Messiah cometh. I said, who? They said, Moses, Elijah. So then our Messiah is Jesus. You know, you have a tree. The tree has a few little tiny stems that come out on it, because that is the pastor, as we say. That is the tree. The branches don't bear the tree. The tree bears the branches, because the sap is coming to the branches through the tree. And you got a pastor, and after a while, the limb grows a little bigger, and then the limb has a few little twigs. So as we say, another pastor, same life, coming from the tree. And then after a while, that puts out a few more twigs, and then you got another pastor. And as to a family tree, as to the bloodline, so it goes on and on, whether spiritually or naturally, until it's a huge, huge tree with many branches, many twigs, all springing out one from another. But the thing is, God has only one tree. That's Jesus. Many are the branches. I am the vine, ye are the branches. As long as you abide in me, you're part of the church. He said, you'll bring forth much fruit. But if you go to do your own thing, you're cut off. And then you wither up, and men put you into the fire. Though you be religious, you still wither up. Men put you into the fire. Just one tree. One church, one God, as back to the Messiah. And we always had people that have done their own things. The Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterian. Whatever, they cut themselves off. They take their own little group. They do their own little thing. They forget about the God of the tribe. And when they do, order is quenched. System is gone. And all of a sudden, life is no more. And though it's beautiful for a few years, after a while, the Methodist is gone, the Baptist is gone, the Catholic is gone, one church is gone, another church is gone, because as it is with a man that fills his canteen with water and starts from one side of the desert to the other, if his canteen is not sufficient, then his water gives out before he gets across the desert. But if he's wise enough that as a man starts across the desert, if he'll just drop a man here and another man here and another man here and another man at the well as a runner, you just keep going and bringing the water and passing it on down till you got a chain across the desert and there's always plenty of water. So this is the way it is. There's something is happening, something great and mighty is taking place. God has a tree. He's planted a seed. And that seed, of course, is Christ Jesus. The promise not as unto many, but as unto one, even the Lord Jesus. The tree with the branches. We're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And the promise as to one, even him. And unless we abide in him, then we can't make the trip. So here we are, compelled of God to do things. So we've tried to do our little bit. A little twig, just a little food, a little watering, and then it goes bigger. From little acorns, big trees grow. And then when it gets bigger, it requires more water, more food, more care, more sunshine, more rain. God supplies it. In that he said, I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. So on and on we go. If we need $10, he gives it to us. Betty and I, when we start on our trip sometime, an old Maypop tie and a jalopy, and that's all we needed. Fortunate if we could carry a frying pan. Sometimes cook out in the desert. I have shaved out in the desert. Might be better said if I tried to shave. Take a bar of soap and I got a hold of it and rub my face and fucking get the razor to it. The wind would dry and that's where I'm shaving. I watch the foxes and the wolves run while you're shaving. Sometimes sleep out on the prairie, and we've done it in the mountains, stranded in the snow or whatever, and at night listen to the coyotes. We've done it. So, but I'm just saying that right now we're doing things a little different. A different thing is going on. A different thing is required of us. As the seedling, so is the tree. As it grows bigger, then so is the need. $50 then, $100, $200. It got to be that we needed $1,000, and it got that we needed $10,000, and it got to to where we needed hundreds of thousands of dollars, but he always had met the needs. I have written checks by faith, and you don't need to practice this. I've seen people say, well, he wrote them by faith, I'm going to write them by faith, but they had a little problem. Just to write checks, that ain't by faith. Just to say you are a Christian, that don't mean that you have faith. To start to do something, that don't mean that you have faith. When you run up to a giant and you're going to kill him, he's about 10 feet and you're about 5 feet. Like Brother Branham said one time, you better not be bluffing when you face a bear. And I've written checks, many, many hundreds of thousands of dollars for many years with the regularity. Not trying to figure out nothing, not trying to think about nothing. Whether it was $2 or $1,000 or whether we was due $10,000, it's right on. God is the one that picks up the tab, takes care of it with regularity. Never had it to fail. Whereas we do things by faith. Faith, someone would say, well, I think I'll do something by faith. You don't just step out and do something, and that's faith. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God, as it was in the days of the prophet when the word of the Lord came to them before it was ever written in the book. That was the word of God. When they acted on it, that was faith. When you go to God, you find out what God wants to do. And there's nothing there as it was Jesus as to the word said, Peter, come to me. But there wasn't a bridge. By faith, Peter walked on the water. God made the bridge. But you must find his mind, you must find his way, you must find his desire, you must get his vision. And that the Bible said the Lord gave the word, and great was the multitude of them that published it. And as to the latter days, said, let him that received the word run with it, the message. For the king's matter requires haste, a quick work cut short in righteousness. So again, I said all that to say this. There are some plans that we have, some things that we must do, because the tree's bigger. Bigger family now. There's some Indian branches. There's some African branches. There are some branches that are Israelites. There are branches around the world. And whether we want the responsibility or not, we've got it. You know, whether we want it or not. Whereas I want it for Christ's sake. I want it for Christ's sake. But our ministry has increased continually and come to the place that we told you that it would come to. It has gradually moved into those places that we said it would move into. It is requiring what we told you it would require, and some is to be diligent, has helped us to make way for it. And through our slothfulness, we're not nearly prepared, nor have we done what we should have done as a people. When I said that the Lord would gradually move to make Bethlehem like as to a head of the nation. Whereas my own brother saw this place as the White House. And the Washington for Jesus, which has been covered so thoroughly at first with 100,000 tracks, the last time with over 50,000 tracks, that is literature, and as it was with the Indian man today, still begging for more literature in India, and that they brought literature that they themselves that had been translated, had it translated in their own language, still pleading for more tracks. 800 million people that needs the gospel. And in Washington for Jesus, it went out to many people. At first, it was 700,000 there, according to the speculations. I saw a vision of the Washington for Jesus, the first meeting, before they ever had it. It didn't have a head to it. And I couldn't understand it. And later, as they invited Mr. Carter out, he didn't come. I began to understand things. Because I later had a vision, and in the vision, I saw little Bethlehem here, and Mr. Carter came here. And from here, Mr. Carter started a great celebration. They had painted a little picture of him, put a beard on him, put up beside it JC, as to Jesus Christ, Jimmy Carter. But anyway, he was very outstanding in the revelational type. And I saw him as he started it here. It was toward the evening time, but he started a great celebration. Whereas a person wouldn't ordinarily do that, they'd start in the morning. But then we spoke of it and spoke of Mr. Reagan coming in and what it had to do with, especially with our tent crusade over in Eden, a place called Eden, North Carolina. We spoke of the Garden of Eden. We spoke of the type of what it was, a big 5-volt tent standing there, what he had to do with. He was sent one of our flags from Bethlehem On the flag it said, "In the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." He gracefully, gladly accepted it, wrote back and told us of his appreciation. It is a prize and a heirloom to him. Whereas Mr. Reagan didn't understand it all, spiritually he didn't understand what was taking place. But as to no head at Washington, as to a time of a change, as to something that's happening even now, so is it with little Bethlehem. As to God, as the nation, as with the world, the Bible says, according to Revelation, the book of Revelation, Revelation 11, having to do with the Revelation 12 and 13, is the casting out of the red dragon and the beast coming up out of the sea. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Not the kingdoms of heaven, the kingdoms of this world. For He already hath the kingdoms of heaven. And you already have the kingdom of heaven within you. But the kingdoms of this world, whereas the Bible said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as to the kingdoms of this world as in heaven." Pray ye therefore that the will of God be done on earth as in heaven. And the Bible said, "The law and the prophets were until John." Since that time, the kingdom has been preached, and men press their way into it. So then at this point, something great and mighty is taking place, whereas it would take many hours. As Paul ministered all night, I'd have to minister all night to him. It would take many hours. Some of you would stay, but I'm afraid that if we started with 40 by morning, we might have five, as it was with the other. But we're not going to try to do that. We are inviting you to spend a little time as to effort and sacrifice of mind and feeling, that you might understand what's going on in the spiritual world, and that children spend all day long, 5 days a week, and then go years in college after getting out of elementary school just to know what's going on in the world or to have control. So I'm surprised a lot of times that we as people of God want to spend 30, 40 minutes and think that we ought to rule the world. It's little wonder that the people out there in the world, as to the government, as to the children of the world, it's little wonder that they should rule over us, and that the Bible said they're wiser in their ways than the children of light. For they spend many years trying to understand the way of life, to have knowledge as to the tree of knowledge, to coordinate, to control. Children of God sometimes spend 2 hours in a whole week, and they wonder why that the others rule over them. The early church, we wonder why we're not like the early church. They spent all day and all night in prayer meetings, fasting for days. They continually meditated in the things of God. It was a lifestyle with them. They lived that every day. They brought their houses and their lands. They sold them, that is, and brought the money and put it down at the apostles' feet, saying nothing was theirs. They give their lives continually. They made it a living sacrifice, as the Bible said, holy and acceptable unto God, which God called a reasonable service. And so then there were great and mighty people that were predestined to rule the world, not only to control houses and lands, but heaven and earth and all therein. And those saints have quietly laid down to sleep, to awake as the great principal powers of all eternity. Whereas the frivolous thing of today is called a Laodicean lukewarm church, a sinful adulterous generation, wretched and blind, naked without the covering of God, having a name that they live, when the Bible said God isn't even in their midst. They're dead. The body without the spirit is dead, and that God is the spirit. And that is the spirit of life. Today it's a religious society to us. But again, I said all that to try to bring out a few thoughts. And if you have to go, I don't feel bad at you, because some of you may be weary, you may be sick, you may have problems. You might have to go. And I don't feel bad. But I'm going to make mention of a few more things to take a little more time and just kind of brief a few things. And if you want to stay, well, you're certainly welcome to. If not, then you can consider yourself dismissed to where you can go without feeling bad at all, because I understand. We are at this point pressed into a corner to have to do something as to our ministry and the world evangelism. Ministers are falling all around us. We told you that this would happen. We told you about the time that things would transpire. It's happened. As a matter of fact, it's happened in such a way that now even the announcers over the radio or different people as to news medias, they're speaking of great, mighty men like Jim Swaggart and like Oral Roberts and like Jim Baker. Others, I believe the reference a few days ago was as to these three. And of course, there's numbers of others. But as to these three, over the radio or something, they said these are fallen angels. Said Oral Roberts, Jimmy Swaggart, and Jim Baker. Said this is three fallen angels. Whereas we'd spoke years ago about this thing, not as to say these fellows, but as to this that would happen to the ministry and people, that it would happen and it would be fallen angels. These are great lights. And we could go into a lot to detail this, but on the tape somewhere they have messages as concerning these things where we preach maybe 1,000 or more tapes, where we preach sermons even. A lot of them right here, some under the tent. But they're falling. The lights are going out. Great mighty men are falling. We used to sing that song, "Hold the Fort, for I am coming." Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace I will. And it said all around, mighty men are falling. And so they're falling. Mighty men. Those are mighty men. Powerful men. I believe Jim Swaggart alone had maybe 260 million viewers, $156 million a year. And yet they're falling. Same way with Jim Baker, maybe somewhere near 100 million or slightly under that is his income. Viewers all over the world. Powerful men, greatly influenced, mighty men. But we spoke of these men that do these things, they would fall. Whereas it was taken very lightly, and sometimes even a confrontation over it or a dispute over it, but they fail, just as the word of the Lord said they would fall. And even here in Bethlehem, here at the church, I speak of people, they do all kind of things, they pray, they fast, they go, they come, they've been in religion, they've been Pentecostal for years, but I've said that they're already fallen, and I've said others will fall. And we get a dispute, whether it's a family dispute or whether it's an individual dispute. They dispute it. Some get upset about it. But it's just exactly like we said. We're not just talking. We're speaking of that which we know to be true. And, of course, that upsets people. You tell a person that they've lost a heavenly inheritance, that really upsets them. But nevertheless, it's happening. They're losing those things. So here we are pressed into a corner to do some more. We're trying to print literature. We're in practically every major language of the world. And our literature is increasing more and more. As the Indian brother said today, we've got to have more literature. They want thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of pieces of literature. So when the fields are calling for millions of pieces of literature and we're not nearly responding to what's needed, then we're pressed into a corner. But we have to do with whatever we have to do with. Because we don't solicit on television. We don't solicit on the radio. We don't ask for people's help. We put it before them. They can do whatever they want to. God said, Moses, let people freely come, freely give, do what they want to. And that the Bible said, freely you've received, freely give. So we stress this to you only as opportunity. And when I say opportunity, I mean that. The reason we don't press out on the radio, the televisions, the other thing, is simply because it isn't right. The Bible said the offering of the wicked is abomination in the sight of God. And a lot of evangelists don't care who gives it or where they get it. The thing is, they want it. But I don't feel that way. God supports his own cause. He doesn't need the world to support his cause. He's God. He said, I own all the gold and the silver. All the cattle of 1,000 hills is mine. If I was hungry, he said, I wouldn't be soliciting. I wouldn't ask you to feed me. But he said, if you'll walk up right before me, you'll lack no good thing. The young lion might suffer hunger, but you won't go hungry. And I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. For I have, through Christ Jesus, given to you all things that pertain unto life. Riches, The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. The Bible said, it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. I'll make all of your beds in the time of your sicknesses. I've supplied all your needs and will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. I'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth, feed you with the heritage of Jacob. Your leaves will not wither. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. So we know that all is well with the children of God. So we don't solicit or pull for money. We have to offer everybody opportunity, because God commanded us to plead the cause of the orphans and the widows. He commanded us to do that. We're not even a minister unless we do that. If we fail to do that, we're not a minister. Though women resent that because they don't want their husband to think on those things, because I don't mean this wrong, but some men are like the women. They don't want their wives to think on it. The reason is the Bible says that all flesh is corrupted its way before God, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. That the serpent has been put on his belly, and all of his labor is for his belly, because his belly craves it of him. In that Jesus called them a generation of vipers. The old serpent, the tree of knowledge. But on the other hand, there are people that love this. Women and men long for it. They're willing to fast and deny the belly or whatever. Not as some evangelists and some people that call themselves Christians trying to go on a fast so that they can make sure all the family's saved, or they can get lose a little weight, or that they can be something important or something outstanding, or somebody will notice them as to some gift, or not that kind of thing, but people that just in general love God and trying to follow the Lord, as the Bible said the minister should fast often. They're trying to follow the thing of God to coordinate with Christ in these things, as to do something for God and to see that his will is done in the earth, and that his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as in heaven. All right, so then getting around to what we're going to say here as to one or two little things, I'll try to hurry. At this point, we are trying to fix a place, and have been trying to where we can accommodate a few ministers coming in like the brethren. Those Indians come in, different ones come in from Africa, India, whatever. It costs us a lot of money. We give them motel rooms. We pay for their motel rooms. We send them to town to eat. We pay for their meals, whether a day or week or whatever. And then besides that, we give them hundreds of dollars. Like these men, they didn't even stay here for a service, just for a few hours. They got to say at least $450 maybe, just for a few hours. They come in, sometimes they get $1,000 or more just that quick, and they're gone. Some of them get a few thousand, like over in India. One brother there has got thousands of dollars, like Douglas, he's got thousands of dollars. Like another man, I believe they gave him $11,000. And on it goes. It takes money to help the people, whereas we'd still go on by faith and God meets it all. We don't bother anybody about this situation. As a matter of fact, this Monday night is to the men's meeting. They didn't have a men's meeting every now and then. They don't have a men's meeting. Nothing comes in as to what is required, because they don't have a men's meeting from the pledge, as it was this week. Just takes travail as two men stand up working. But we still have to meet the bills with a regularity. But aside from that, we make the grade by faith. We do it. We pay the bills. Tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars, we pay the bills. In just a few weeks, not too long ago, we spent over $100,000. So, in this, we have to reach the world. As I said, God has given you the responsibility of it, and I say you as to those that are willing, those that want it, those that are children of God, those that desire it. And I don't have very many of those kind here at Bethlehem. Not even interested enough to listen and get indoctrinated as to know, to desire, understand what we're doing. So they can make a contribution as to strength or whatever. But I do have some. As the Bible said, fear not, little flock. It is a little flock. All over the world, though there are many people, as in the days of Noah, 8 was saved. As in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, there was only 4. As in the days of the crossing as to the Jordan, there was only 2. As in the Calvary, only 1 made it over, even Jesus. As 1, not promise as unto many, but an inheritance as to one, even Christ, as to Isaac. In Isaac shall the seed be called. We're dependent on him, even Christ, within you, the hope of glory. If you don't have him, then you don't have any hope of that inheritance. No one found favor but the Lord. So here we are as a new tree, a new body of people. And I have a little flock. Fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. So we're looking for the kingdom, because the kingdom is riches and power and glory and magnificence. As the disciples said, having left all to follow you, what then will we receive? Said, when I sit upon my throne judging, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the tribes of Israel. So the reward is great, even eternal life. But we have some things to do. We have the responsibility of world evangelism. Like the man that wrote the song, I remember being in Oklahoma with our brother out there that wrote the song, Born to Love the Lord. I remember later Jimmy Davis, the governor, recorded it. Brother Bud Chambers, a holiness preacher, that wrote it. I remember being at his home. See, we're born to love the Lord. We that are children of God, we are born to love the Lord. We are elect before the foundation of the world. And we're born as sons of God. We must be about our Father's business. If it takes us to Calvary, it makes no difference. We must be about our Father's business. I know that religion today to the people is fame, popularity, money, and all those things do come. The Lord said, David, I've taken you from among the sheepcote, given you a name like unto the great men of the earth. Set him on the throne. Those things automatically follow, but that's not what we follow. While people admire those things that are being done, as it was with David when he established the kingdom, when he overcame the bear, the lion, the other things, as with Samson, when he with his hands killed the lion. While people admire those things that we do or look after us, as it was with the great multitude I saw looking at me, when I was beholding the things in heaven, while their admiration are to those things, in that their children and parents lay up for children, our admiration is Christ, to follow him. As a little child, you give them a little red wagon, you give them a tricycle, you give them a bicycle, their admiration is on the bicycle, the tricycle, the wife, the new dress, the home, the things that are necessitated to life. But the man's mind is on his business, because if he doesn't have the business, he doesn't have the income. If he doesn't have the income, he doesn't have the wife's admiration. So our admiration is in Christ, from whence all the blessings of God come freely as they are given unto us. So in this, we move on to do whatever we've got to do. And I suppose the Lord might have let me talk on with the other things at this point, because my wife just came in and she was greatly disappointed because she had to go take care of something. An emergency arose just at church time and she really was disturbed. But before I can say the first words of it, here she comes. So the Lord looks after and keeps me talking until she gets here. So I've got a chance to get back at her now, so I might as well just say it. She said, you better get to church and you better start getting to church on time. I said, I know you're right. And she said, them people are going to be tired when you get there. I got a feeling they're tired, but she got here. Let's give my wife a hand, can you? I guess it's just kind of in a man or a woman to want to get even. But anyway, she got here. The Lord loves Betty and takes care of her. And she got here just as we was going to speak of a few of these things. I was talking to my wife today. I've talked to her about this a number of times. But today I reminded her that what I need at Bethlehem, so far as I know, and we've been planning this for a number of years, there's blueprints drawn on it. It's been referred to as a promenade building. Whereas they refer to our buildings as one thing or another, and I let them do it, and a lot of times it's allegoric in what they tag them with. But I need a building. And we're just a finishing up one down here. You think with the travail that we have to go through with it, I never want to see another building as long as we live. And my wife sometimes don't. She tells me very quickly. But anyway, she really does, to the extent of the work of the Lord. We've got one down back of the multipurpose building that we've got to put the top on. The real travail of that is over as to the cement work and whatever. And we do build buildings strong because Jesus said build on a rock so the wind don't get it. And we build our buildings out of granite. It's crushed granite as to gravel and bind it together with cement. So it's a solid rock structure except for a little bit of cinder block work. And as the building down here, the pillars on one end, I remember one of the huge pillars is more than, I'd say at least 7 or more than 7 feet into the ground and into the solid cement. 22 inches around or 22 inches through, 6 feet around by measurement. That's what those pillars are. Whereas the ones down the basement are bigger than 6 feet around. But then there's smaller ones down there that's about 18 inches. So we build to where the wind can't get it unless it's the act of God. And like I've often said, if God wants to use me like a kingpin bull to set them up and him knock them down, that's his business. It's just my business to put them up. But we do the best we can, and then we pray and believe the Lord that he won't let anything happen, because our confidence is not in the strength of the building but in Christ. I don't believe that God will look after children that mothers don't look after. As to the child, he will look after him as to an extensive thing, take the child to be with him. But as I've often said, God, unless we do our best, God cannot watch after children if a mother's careless, or he'd be partakers of her carelessness. But the mother that diligently tries to watch the child, then God will watch the child. When the mother cannot get to the child or something's gone wrong, the Lord will remember. And he'll say, the mother's done her best. It's my job to watch the child. And he can do it. His integrity will let him do it. But otherwise, he will not do it. He cannot do it. He tells us very clearly that he cannot do it. He said, a child left to itself will bring shame. That is, I can't watch it. All right, so as to the Word of God, no matter what we think, we have to go back to the Word of God. That's the only absolute in the earth. Like our measurements down here, as I said to them the other day, they said, what about this? You're going to measure from this? You're going to measure from that? I said, I can't. I showed them where I couldn't. I said, I got one absolute, that's God. I have to ask him how to do it and the way to do it, and it always comes out right, even though it looks wrong sometimes. It still comes out right. So then I need a building for what I'd like to do. Now, whether I build a building or not, it's up to God. I can say I definitely am going to do it. By faith, I'll go right on and do it, just like I have these others. But at this point, I'm saying it's up to him as to what he wants. I can build the building. By faith, I can do it. I don't have any doubt at all. The only thing that I've got in mind is this. I've stayed right with the buildings here, tried to do what I could, and working as with Brother Atlee or people that at times in the past has really been concerned, we were able to accomplish or achieve our purpose. And the erections as a memorial unto God, they're here. But then when we came to the place of leaving blueprints, and we had one of the best blueprint men in the country, blueprints as to drawings, and I left it in the hands of men, I had a lot of difficulty. Some brethren want to lord over other brethren, and some don't want to honor the prince, and some don't want to do whatever, and some don't believe it was what Brother Pike said anyway. And it's been a conglomeration of a problem, and it's been a great hindrance, and I've had to turn back and pick the whole thing up, lay aside the blueprints, and just take the leadership to be able to accomplish my purpose. And I know the Lord suffers this sometimes to keep the minds of the individuals in one central direction. Because the middle wall of petition as to the Pharisees and scribes gets between God and Moses, as we say, or between Moses and the objective. So we really have a problem with it. And if I should go to build another building, we'll have that problem. because I've got to give some time to the field and to the other things. I need leaders. I got leaders, but I need leaders with concern. And let me say this, is not to hurt you. We have a number of people that are governors or whatever. You don't lay it to heart. You're not convicted as some ministers. They just eat, drink. They don't really fast and pray. They're not really concerned about the flock. The Bible said they feed themselves, but not the flock. He said, I'll raise up shepherds after my own heart that'll feed my flock. And a lot of the ministers are getting into problems because they're in the flesh. And the Bible said, if you're in the flesh, you can't please God. That's why they're falling. Too much of the world. But we're interested in lost souls, and we're interested in God's will and establishing God's kingdom in the earth and doing all we can to help you naturally, physically, and spiritually. I say naturally because Jesus multiplied the fishes and the loaves and fed the hungry and said, feed them lest they faint in the way. So I'm interested. We bring out the message, the threefold blessing of God. I'm interested, but I've got men that they'll carry a briefcase. They'll come to the men's meeting. They'll come to church. They'll listen. They want position. They want offices. They like money. They like the natural things of life. Whereas I say over and over, the Bible says, if the love of things are in your heart as to the world, then the love of God isn't there. So I am going to have a special meeting. I'll call together some of my leaders. I've been telling you that we were going to do this. Might be at a Holiday Inn. A lot of times we have meetings or confrontations, or we have some kind of something at Holiday Inn, or some kind of Ramada Inn or something, some kind of special gathering. But we're going to have some meetings, whether home or in those places, as to some confrontations and discussions, especially with some of our leaders. And this is why I'm doing it with the church, because I hadn't planned to do this. But like I said, I felt just before coming to church, I wanted to do this. That way it's not confusing when your husband does certain things, if the women know something about it. Now, I was going to talk with him. I didn't get to. I'm fixing to bulldoze some land. And we've partly bulldozed it already. I want to put up a building. And this building that I want to put up, it's an expensive building. And since I don't pull for offerings and solicit for offerings or ask you, but I do it by faith, then I have to just start as Moses did. God gave him a little stick, and he started a commonwealth in the wilderness and built an empire. So we just have to start with a little seed to get a stalk, to get an ear of corn with many grains. So we start to follow God's system, that God might be the one that gets the blessing as to the glory. As Gideon, God turned away many of his men that went with him because God could not have got the glory. 40 men at 4 o'clock in the morning, but the endurance as to many hours. God wanted the glory, so he turned them away till it dropped down to 5 to 7 men. And this is what we have to do. So I want to erect a building. I'll start in a very primitive way. I started this building right here, put up a few pillars. I throw the sawdust on the floor. We preach right here with the sawdust on the ground. There's no floor to it. Then eventually he gave us the floor. So we'll start in a primitive way and put up some pillars as to a top on it. We need an open air tabernacle anyway. The parking lot's getting real crowded. Special meetings, it's real hot in here. Someone was telling me just the other day, special meetings, they wanted to come to them, even from another man's ministry. People that want to come, we've got camp meeting coming up this year. I didn't advertise it as a standard thing, but we're still going to have meetings and conventions. That way we can use that as a open air tabernacle and still use it as what we will call a world conference building. I need a world conference building. People from all over the world come and are wanting to come, and we turn a lot of them down. You don't know how many. And they're wanting us to come to their country, and they're wanting to come here. And as I say, whether we accept the responsibility or not, as I said to my wife over in the evening, we still got it. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. People who are not broad in their outlook, who do not understand the word of God, they confine their efforts as to physical labor, as to an income, as to one little unit called their home. Others are a little broader. They get together. They have a home front as to a church, and they help support it as well as their little home. And then there are those that are broader. They have an evangelism as to statewide, and they go out and they pass out tracts and they preach. And they are evangelistic, and some as to even the nation. They reach out, telecast as it to the nation. But then there are those that are raised up for one purpose, and that's world evangelism, to accept the full scope, to go into all the world, to preach the gospel to every creature. Just a little feller as to one woman or one man, but around the world they go. I was standing under a big, beautiful tree over in India not too long ago that a great man planted as a missionary. One man, that huge tree had grown since he was there. He's passed on. He stirred the country. A great, mighty man. Maybe didn't know as much as you know, but he knew some things, enough to go when God said go. As the writer said, you're my, send me. So I need the building. The bond's child will mock, even if I start it. They will mock because they're not very big, the little children. They don't know. Some of them don't understand. And because they see the bond's child mock, they'll mock. They'll make a joke out of daddy and mother. When the little kid on the corner, the neighbor's kid says, they're an old fogey. Just come on, man, I got the dope, I got the goods, I'll show you how to live big time. And they'll mock daddy and they'll say things to him, as I heard somebody sitting here say that his son said to his mother and daddy the other day. But down the road, after he gets a little older and he's in jail and his little friend is gone, or his little friend is in jail with him, or the electric chair is waiting, then they'll call daddy and mama. And they'll realize that, as the Bible said, parents lay up for the children, and they should have respected them, and that they, if you don't honor daddy and mother, you shorten your days by your disobedience. So I need to build the building from where I'm looking now. If God doesn't want it, that's all right. But we've had blueprints drawn up for a long time. I gave it to different ones to sketch out, told him what I wanted, and we will start as a seedling if that is his desire. To have a world conference as to 3 months and then a convention, 3 months and then a convention, as to bringing people in from overseas, 10 or 15 of our pastors or whoever, or our workers from the fields, as to the offense home. Maybe at the end of the year, bring them all in, as many as we can, as to a conference. But we will bring them in proportionally as to a periodic thing. And of course, many of those men, if you'll remember, as the brethren today, they're going to Texas. They have other connections in the States. And those people that are in the States are in the same situation that I'm in, as the confrontation with the Indians today. I said, I'm sending money into many places. I said, sometimes wretched people get it. I said, they're not interested in children, nor the orphans. They're not interested in the work of God. I said, and it really causes me a problem. And I was inquiring as to certain men in India that they are acquainted with. And the people here in the United States, some of them have the same problems, and they'd love to have a centralized, as to a move, a centralized area, as to a centralized point, to where they can all meet and work through to send their money into the foreign fields or to contact their ministers in the foreign fields. And with this, many people could come here as their ministers came in or their brethren came in. Many of them that are associated with us, and as to just having preachers to come in to preach, I wouldn't give you 15 cents for it. I don't even practice it in the church, though I have many times in years gone by. But men who are interested in winning souls, the building down here will soon be completed. There's about 8 bathrooms in it as to facilities. There's plenty of rooms downstairs as a cafe. Fixed, used temporarily for store, but was to have a big table as its own means of furnishing sandwiches or food or whatever. And in this building, people who are people of renown, as to dignitaries or different ones coming in, being within the building, giving them securities there, as to security watch of our securities, and as to the need, seeing that they had plenty of food and whatever, and that we had planned from the start to raise food and have cattle and whatever. We are doing it a little different. Still have some of those things, but we've had to kind of narrow down as to the plane, the ships, a few things, because the people didn't understand the broadness of the outreach. But as I said, when I told them these things before, we'll manipulate, rearrange. We won't alter. We'll just rearrange and go at it in a different direction, and it just leaves you out, not God and not me and our purpose. So that means that we could have these facilities for the parents as to them that lay up for the children. And then the other ministers that are running around from place to place doing different things that are just conglomerating, that's wanting their own ministry, their own thing. They're just children anyway. Like in the community, you have a little bully, or you have the fellow that polishes his nails and says, follow me, you know, I got it all figured out. Just let all the children play together. Have them a place to stay if they come in as young ministers that got big ideas and yet they're not following God. Give them a place to stay and work with them. But the real parents that are sober, sensible, that understands that this is not something that we're just doing in some industry of the world, but this is an eternal source as to an eternal regime, as to an eternal thing where people don't die but live forever. And that this is a movement that will go on throughout eternity. Take those great leaders, the sons of God, and give them special places to stay. So people that are coming in and out here won't conglomerate the minds of these people. Like I had a man that come in here from Texas, come in from our radio broadcast, a brother that lives across the street that was ambitious with his foolishness, scrambled his mind like eggs and had him so mixed up he didn't know where he's going. I got people that live on the campground are ambitious. Keep them kind of people away from these people and give security and protection to these people to where we can have them and have them in confidence, to esteem them worthy of double honor, to bring them in to where we can keep the thing under the control of Christ around the world. The Lord is doing this because the rapture is near at hand. The translation is close at hand. And when we have our conferences, the men that come in with the briefcase that just want offices or want to look important, that when the cross comes or the sacrifice or the effort, you can't find men or women, just let them go on playing their games and look not to the men that have offices, but the men that have hearts for Christ. And then gradually work these men that have a heart of Christ for world evangelism and lost souls and an incentive toward order and system. Gradually work these men into the offices and the others out of the offices, with the exception that we have some here that have offices. They're not very broad in their vision. Leave them alone. Don't put ripples in the water to disturb them, because we have to have home front order, and that's as far as they can see. For instance, we have video here. We're doing some home video. Most of our video has been professional video for television. And then we run into a corner because we needed much home video to mail to missionaries and different places, people around. So we're doing home video. And makes it more practical for the people. In the foreign countries, they don't have the facilities we have. But at the same time, sometimes I get a little disturbed because they don't carry on the professional video. There's always a line in the street. Now, in this, in the audio, or in the other printed departments, whatever, what we will have to do is set up another office as to professional video. Leave this one, or the audio, or anything else, whereas we cannot do what we would like to do, where we give it days or months or whatever. Set up another office of the professional video and keep it separated, and go on as to the World Conference Building and the things of the entire world outreach, as to TV or whatever it's needed for. And such like we will have to do in many things, and not bother the others as to the local area, because a lot of people, it's too much work to professionally do a thing, or to really do it as to a real detailed thing as to perfection. So they'd rather coast along and don't have to put forth, that way they don't have to put forth a lot of effort. 30-fold, we let them go 30-fold. See, keep the home front going. And the same way with our field administration as to whatever is required. and find the people who really want to do something for God, to bring these people in and out, to correlate, and then to set tent meetings, not just as a tent crusade as we have in the past, but as in one area over here, set a tent for a convention, to have people to come in that area, maybe that have missionaries as to support of those that would later come into this area to the World Conference. Pick them up out there in the field and give them some means of stimulation in the area as to set up an office or whatever might be required in that area, if they wanted to do that, especially for distribution of literature. Our trucks can take it. As the man in India said today, don't forget us with the clothing, Brother Pike. We send clothing. Just a few days ago, we sent some more clothing. Joe was up here from Mexico yesterday taking more things in. They gave him a horn to talk over to go down there and these kind of things. A little bit here, a little bit there, and all over the world doing something for God. So getting on with a few thoughts here so we can close out. Just briefing the things to you. We'll have to get some of the brethren together with slides and video and sketches and whatever to show this to them as over a period of time, one night as to this divisional part, another night as to this divisional part, as to what it will involve, as to the Indians, as to the Spanish or whatever, and as to the drawings, to where they can see it in detail and not be in a confusion about it, know exactly what to do, what direction to take, and what they're going to be over, and what they're going to be responsible for, and find people that really genuinely are leaders that wants God responsibility, not expect anything out of anybody that doesn't want to do it. Let it be a free will thing. So with this, we're going to have to do a lot of things, and a lot of things that I've not mentioned of this, I would have to mention, because it would take up a lot of time. If I went on and on tonight, it would take up a lot of time. But I feel if we can start off with this, put us up some huge pillars out here as to begin with, put up a top over it as we did this right here, throw the sawdust down on the floor, have an open air meeting, be cool during camp meeting, and it will serve a twofold purpose and move with an incentive toward what needs to be done, and then broaden the scope and everyone that would be interested as to radio when we say something about it, TV or tent meetings or whatever, or missionary crusades, put it all down, keep it all together, and then when different ones come in here, they'll want to know why the facilities isn't such and such. That gives them an opportunity to get in and do their part, whether financially or whatever. And as it is, we brought Tony in X amount of months ago. He turned out to be a number one electrician. He's done all this electrical work for us. The house is ready. He just finished his work down there at the pool in front of the house. We brought Brother Steve in from Texas. Brother Steve just finished his plumbing work down there in the pool, and he's working on it in the house. And other people that come in and have different talents. Some come in, they want to give money to help, like a few in the last little bit is give $100, some can give $1,000. Brother Mikey gave $10,000. Our brother down yonder gave X amount of thousand. Scotty gave about $8,000 there at one time. And numbers of people want to give something. They want to do something. This is their way. As a matter of fact, I believe James just gave $3,000, wasn't it, the other night? Brother James just gave $3,000. All right, now, see, these people want to do something, and whatever they can do, they want to do it. James not only gave, but he likes to work. He loves to do something. And he has a son, Richard, that's just a fine person that wants to help. His little family wants to come in and do what they can, and we have other families that are determined that they're going to dedicate their life to God. They are tired of living off of the belly, eating and drinking and going to sleep and, as I say, being in the old Indian death mark. They're 10 years old, they're 50 years old, they're 100 years old, or they don't live to get 70, and they're in the grave feeding, the worms are feeding off of them. They're tired of that. They're tired of trying to be celebrities and trying to be stars and trying to be dignitaries. And just about time they get to be a dignitary, they put them in the grave. They're tired of that. They're tired of dodging diseases and problems and the IRS and everything else that's grabbing everything as to their labor. They're tired of it, and God's letting all this thing come down upon them because they've neglected lost souls and hungry people. as to world evangelism, saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and I'll add all this other. I'll make you rich and add no sorrow. Put you upon the high places of the earth. You won't like no good thing. So he's tired of all this foolishness. They're being eat up with cancer and TB and paralysis and everything else. And their life, they go down to the grave and the worms feeds on them, and they leave all that they have to a fool, as Solomon said. All of this I got by wisdom. Who knows but what I'll leave it to a fool. So then they're tired of it, and they're wanting to give their lives to God. They're wanting to make their lives count. They're wanting to preserve their life unto eternal life. The Bible teaches that if you give your life to God, you preserve your life unto eternal life. For the man that seeketh to save his life by doing and getting in this life as to what his satisfaction is will lose his life. But the man that loseth his life for my sake as to giving his life to me, that I might live within that body to do my thing in life as to my kingdom, he'll gain his life and that unto eternal life. So they're tired of this foolishness. They want to get away from it. They're tired of ministers that's playing games with them and stealing from them and trying to be movie stars and pretty boys. And they're tired of all this mess, and they're wanting to find the reality of God as to do something themselves and follow the order and system as to the biblical way of life. And because of that, they're coming to me. They're coming to places wherever they can find life. And they're seeking and they're begging and they're pleading. I mean, they're literally begging. And in my part of it, as to the little part I play in it, I'm going to do what I can. This is my life. I have no other desire in life. I have no other ambition. It's been my life for many years. It'll continue to be my life. I'm well pleased with it. So, in general, this is just a few of the little things that we're planning to do, but it involves a large scope. And just briefing it to you, it makes you to understand that we're fixing to make a move toward a greater outreach in world evangelism. It is demanded and necessitated as to our survival in the ministry and as to what we are commanded of God to do. And we're going to do it. You can laugh about it, joke about it, take it lightly. As you have the things in the past as to you later to see them come to pass, or you can be a part of it. Like I've had a number of people come and they said, Brother Pike, when you said them things, said, I didn't believe that. Said, I didn't believe that at all. And said, here I am standing looking at it. Said, I still can't hardly believe it. But there are some that did believe it. And they stood in there with me to persevere because they knew it was God and they knew it would come to pass. And whatever we set forth, it'll come to pass. It's God. He'll stand with us. And I'm going to say this and try to close. The other night I said, brethren, if we stay with it, we're going to win. Perseverance, your works with your faith, and faith blossoms out. And faith comes to life. But faith without works is dead. To say you believe with no effort, stay at home while the others are in travail. To see your brother, sister in need, shut up your bowels of compassion. How dwelleth the love of God in you? Like a brother come to me. He said, Brother Pike, he'd been working with me. He said, I feel like a scumbag. I said, but why? I said, you stayed over here. You've done your job. You did what I asked you to do. You worked hard. He worked exceptionally hard, done things that was phenomenal. And then he went home to get a little rest. He said, I know, but I still feel like a scumbag. I said, well, why? He said, because I should have stayed all night. I said, I should have stayed with you. And said, in that I didn't, I feel like a scumbag. Now, when a man gets to thinking like that, and a woman thinking like that, after the man so diligently, thoroughly did his work, then people are beginning to move up in God. They're beginning to see something. And this is what we need. All right, let's stand together. I appreciate your listening. I appreciate your courtesy. I'm not going to try to weary you. That this is just a tiny bit of thought as concerning what we've got to do, what we're trying to do, what we're going to do, unless the Lord says no. And the Lord will not say no if it's to his profit, to his benefit. If the people are interested, he will not say no. But if the people aren't interested, then he will not pressure them. He will not demand of them. He will move on to another people. He will move on to another way. He will do it as to another people, as in another way, and use not a different plan, not a different system, but a different people. So it's up to you. And one God leaves an area, it will go dead. As it was in the Mississippi area, I told them, I said, there's a flame here, it's burning like a mountain on fire. And the Lord's favor is towards you and great things He's wanting to do. And revival moved and great, mighty moves of God. People were thrilled. It was such a tremendous outpouring. I said, but He's going to leave you as He did the Jews. And everything's going to dry up and be desolate. For a number of years, it was like fire. They didn't believe what I said. But I said, He's going to do it because He's going to take it to another people. He moved. He took it to another people. He did it. And they were left and dried up. Today they've dried up in death after death, sorrow after sorrow. The ministers are gone. The ministers failed and turned out to be bad, the leading ministers. And everything went down. God went to a couple that was wealthy, had an outstanding business that just looked like it couldn't fail. And He went to the couple, and there were the couple. He placed the thing in their hands, and they didn't move as to what God wanted. In that, He left them. X amount of years passed. Betty and I went back. The woman was working in a cafe, just serving tables in a small cafe. Talking about a brilliant, fabulous type person with an outstanding business and nice brick home, new cars, the home on the rocks, everything gone. Another home we went to, the Lord offered something to this home. They gladly received us in these homes. They loved us. But as to do something for God, as to surrender their way of life, they couldn't do that. In this particular home, everything was fine. A brick home, God blessing them. We'd work with them. But as to move on with God, the man decided they wanted a little more income. The woman decided she wanted a job. They decided that they were real busy, couldn't take up that much time with spiritual things. I warned them. In a little while, they'd done what they wanted to do. In a little while, the woman was defiled. In a little while, the home was busted up. In a little while, the man was married again. In a little while, the same lovely little children that was around the table, the little sons, had grown up. In a little while, the dad had shot one of them to blow his brains out, his own son. Something happened. I don't know what it was. The son done something. The daddy beside himself, something wasn't right. Daddy run out of the house as the son run off, and daddy pulled the pistol and killed him. People, just like you are, around them, Betty and I knew them well. We ate in their homes. We was around the little children growing up. We was around the people to help danger, to warn. They didn't listen. I made a statement the other day to my wife. I said, Betty, and I made it right here. I said, Betty, the Lord showed me there's a woman that's going to shoot a man. I told her who the man was and who the woman was. I said, unless something happens, the woman is going to do it. I said, she's going to do it. She doesn't really know that she's going to do it, but she's going to do it if something don't happen. And since then, I found out that that same man caused problems, and that same woman came out with the pistol, and that same woman perhaps had no intentions of shooting anybody, but could have in just a few minutes if something hadn't been done. Still, it remains the same. I haven't seen any difference in it. You didn't think much about it when I said it. Probably some others didn't. Never dawned on them, probably, as to what took place or what might take place. I make mistakes, but the Lord don't make mistakes. Those things happen. Those things will happen. You never dreamed that that man that was so fine, I mean a fine man that loved his home, worked regular, a good, outstanding, brilliant man, well spoken of and loved and respected in the community. You wouldn't have thought he killed his own son, but he did. I dealt with another family. I tried to talk to them. They didn't listen. man got upset. He come out with his gun. He killed his own son. Another case. Killed his own son. So you say, no, not me. You don't know. You don't ever know. Thing is, you don't know what you're going to do. Demons are real. Spirits are real. And you're going to do just exactly what the Lord suffers you to do. If he turns loose a devil on you, then you're going to do what that devil commands you to do. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. May the Lord bless you, forgive us for keeping you as to weary you, because ordinarily we've been teaching and we have all the way through said things about the wonderful scriptures if you were able to get a hold of it. But this night happened to be one night, just an exceptional thing, where we were to talk about world evangelism and a few little things that we wanted to do and barely scratched the surface as to telling you what our plans are or what we're going to do for Christ. We're believing on the first, I think this is definite now, so I guess I can say it, on the first, we're believing to go into Australia, to go in New Zealand, over into Hawaii, and then back home. And then on the 23rd, we'll be leaving again. We'll have about a week or something here. Be leaving again. We'll be going into India to look at some of the orphanages that we have, to see some of them there. And the places we have. And we'll be going into Russia and going into the different parts of the world, as to the Philippines, as to Korea, as to China. And we'll need your prayers. We'll need your prayers, because it's hard, it's long, it's strenuous. I don't think he's purchased any tickets as of yet, but he's already made the reservations. So they're made. And that means that that's taken care of. The funds have already been appropriated. All he has to do, whenever he gets ready, the man that's in charge, he just goes and buys the tickets. He's already got everything. He's been waiting to get everything set up. So we still have a long ways to go, in that we have to have multiplied thousands of dollars yet as to the trip, as to the land fare and the other things. God is graciously meeting them, so there's no problem. Let's sing a little chorus together. During the time that we have to have this, we also have to have multiplied thousands of dollars to pay the bills. And during the time we're paying the bills, we have to have multiplied thousands of dollars for the building, the erection, as to whatever we're doing. I think Brother Taylor can tell you that. He's the man that's on that end of it. And always having to go purchase. So let's sing together. The bond's child as to the natural mind, whether it be the wife, whether it be the husband, whether it be the children, whether it be the preacher, whether it be the laity, will always have a mocking mind toward the things of God. Because the Bible teaches the things of God are spiritual. And if a man is not spiritual, he cannot discern these things. He cannot know these things, because they are spiritually discern. All right, let's sing together. Let's sing the song, I Love You. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I love you. I love you. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary. Can you sing it with me? Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. and we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in God's book, it is mine. For every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. You love the Lord? Let's sing these little choruses together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Now you can sing with me. I might be a little tired. You know, you stay up X amount of hours, a few days, nights. You get a little tired. But we can still sing. You can still sing. So you sing with me. As the altars are open, let's sing it again. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe. Sing it with me again. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. At the cross where we first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. For at the cross,
for we've done
all of the line,
and the burdens of the heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy.
Oh, sing it again.
For at the cross where we first saw the light, and the burdens of the heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Nations are breaking, Israel's awakening. It's the signs that the prophets foretold. Gentile days numbered with horrors encumbered. Soon eternity will unfold.
While we're standing tonight, why don't all of us just come to the altar? We're speaking of a world move. And we've got some other things that we've got to do. And it would be good if all of us could come tonight to make a new dedication. If you're not planning to be part of this, you need to come anyway. While we're coming, I want you to think tonight. I thought I'd leave this thought with you. There's a lot of things that we're going to try to do. A lot of these things involve the boys and the girls and the young men and women. We'll have to have their help. Some of the things in the past have involved them. We had a lot of problems sometimes getting them to do the things that we wanted to do. Or let me say, through the leadership that we placed over them, in that the leadership sometimes was very carnal. Very carnal. But we need your help as young boys and girls. As I said concerning Andy, I don't know how old Andy is. How old are you, Andy? 13 years old. 12 years old. 13, that's the Jewish bar mitzvah. Was said of Jesus, I must be about my Father's business, even to the extent that the people were utterly amazed at him, and even the mother and father didn't understand. So we need your help. We need your help as the young people of the church. And in what we're going to do, it's going to take your help. But the only way that you can help us is to do what we ask you. To work with the system. There are mothers in Israel. The Bible speaks of mothers in Israel. Paul said, I have begotten you as a father in the gospel. Though you have 10,000 instructors, he said, yet you have but one father of the gospel. I've begotten you as a father in the gospel. So, I'm asking you to work with us in system. Now, I want you to keep your eyes on Jesus. They wrote a song, a man wrote a song, said, keep your eyes on Jesus. He'll calm the troubled waters of your soul. But while you keep your eyes on Jesus, you're only going to be able to keep your spiritual eyes on Jesus, because God is a spirit. And the invisible God that you cannot see is the man that wrote the song, invisible hands shall guide me, invisible hands shall show me the way. The Bible says, Paul speaking, I endure it as seeing him who is invisible, even the invisible God. And then that you are going to see him only through the eyes of your understanding. You keep your eyes on him. Well, Peter said, look on us, but as to see Christ. But Paul said, follow me. Follow me. Keep your eyes on Jesus, as to the word, as to your mind, your eyes of understanding. But follow me. Don't follow everybody else in the church. Did you know many hundreds and millions of people have fallen by the wayside? I had a man not too long ago say, I don't come to church because of a certain brother, because of a certain thing. I talked with him. I explained to him. Today he's in church. For many months he was out of church. See, keep your eyes on Jesus, but follow me. Follow the pastor. Sheep don't follow sheep. They follow the pastor. And it has been said, when a sheep doesn't follow the pastor, that is the shepherd. When they don't, it has been said that that is a sick sheep. He will wander off because he is sick. It's also been said that when a little lamb that doesn't know, when he fails to follow the shepherd carries a staff. What he does, he breaks the leg of the little lamb. And the little lamb can't wander anymore. And then he binds up the legs of the little lamb from the heel up, and he cares for it, and he loves the little lamb, and he caresses the little lamb. And then when the little lamb gets well, it won't follow anybody but the shepherd, because it's felt his love and his tender care during the problem. Sometimes God has to break our legs, as we say, or that is, he subjects us to certain conditions to put a bridle on us, that we might suffer a little bit, that we might escape future problems as to eternal damnation and eternal loss. Then we know that God cares for us. But we've got to remember, he's never subjected us to anything that he didn't go through himself 10 times as bad when he came down in a human body and took our infirmities. So, while we're together, while we're thinking on these things, I want you as an individual, every person as an individual, I want you to think on these things as an individual. And I want you to think now, what can I do? What can I do? There's a lot that you can do as an individual. Every person. Even our little bitty folks. I admire my little bitty girls and my little bitty boys. I admire them. Little Matthews was out there trying to do something the other day when he got hurt. Our problems. He was trying to do something. He wasn't off trying to act bad. He was trying to do something. But he wasn't being watched properly. See, and men that are up day and night, sometimes they can't watch properly. They try to. I try to pray. I try to watch. The Bible says watch and pray. I try to do this. And God has, through my prayers, kept my little ones. But then sometimes mothers and daddies get so far off that things happen in spite of all the preachers praying. And sometimes God suffers something to happen as to Matthews to shake the whole community up because he's wanting to make a move. And in this particular case, as I again said to my companion, following that of the lamb, it was for this reason, in that God is making a move. Right after Calvary, there was a great move as to the resurrection. And these things have great significance. See, who knows when God's going to call them? Little Matthews? I never dreamed anything like that would happen. If that thing that occurred, if it had just been one bit as to another way, it would have cut his throat. It would have ripped open his head to his brain. It would have killed him instantly. Neither the one that it happened to nor the one that was somewhat responsible had any idea beforehand that that was going to happen. And like I said, little Matthews, a few days before, had just given a dime. He wanted to give an offering. And he was out there trying to do good. But those things happen. So mothers, don't be careless. Fathers, when you are there, watch your children. Don't resent what the preacher says, what the brothers say, what the sisters say that are trying to do something for God. Don't interfere. Don't break the system. Don't run interference. On the campground, keep your trailer looking nice. Keep the junk out of the yard. The vision I had where a third part of it become junk. God's getting rid of some of the junk, even the spiritual junk. Don't junk it up. Don't put old vehicles around, all bent up and messed up. Don't lay things all around. Don't conglomerate. Fix your trailer. Fix your little home. Fix your yards. Do what you can, and we'll do what we can to help you. You have to do these things. Don't be always having a problem that something just that's a negligence. Dress properly. Talk properly. Don't have gossip. Listen real close to me. The Lord is concerned. He'll tell me. Just like the junk. Don't have your lights cut on today and off tomorrow and another day. Be a testimony. Try to pay your bills. Do what you can. And if you follow Christ and you give to Christ, you'll prosper. You'll be blessed. As the sowing, so the reaping. And if it's bountiful, then it'll be bountiful. So work with me. Like I said here a while back, I went to a home in a vision. I walked up to this door, and I wanted to go inside of this home. When I opened the door, I looked, and the living room was filled with dung. It was piled up everywhere. I'm not talking about like a dog had been into the house. I'm talking about like a herd of dogs had been in the house. If you could use the term herd with dogs. And I looked, I thought of trying to get around that. In the kitchen, the table was piled with dung. Every direction I looked, you can imagine what I've done. See, as a shepherd, the Lord was saying to me, son, there's too much gossip, too much talk about worldly things, eating and drinking, natural laughter, gesturing. The things that be of the world, buying, laying things back in the corners, efforts and incentive toward the natural things. That's sad. I don't want to have a life like that. I don't want to have a life like that. It's all right to be like Cinderella and have the dishpan hands. But you don't want to have a home filled with gossip and backbiting and the frivolous things of the world. While we're standing here, let's lift our hands up together. I brought you here. I asked you about this. I mentioned these things, just piecing a few things together so that you can be a part of what we're trying to do. He that winneth souls is wise. They'll shine as the brightness of the noonday. Whatever you bid God speed, whether in prayers to supported or giving or whatever you do as to your efforts, you're part of that reward. And if you want to help us to coordinate, to be a blessing, to testify of the victories and ability of Almighty God instead of testifying of the giants and the opposition to discourage the hearts of God's people, if you want to do it the other way, you can, brethren. You can be a part of it. You can, sisters. You can be a part of it. God wants you to be a part of it. He's willing. There's a lot of things that only women can do. Men can't do them. So then God needs your help. He needs the little children's help. So while we're standing here, I want you to promise the Lord in your heart. Make a covenant with the Lord. Renew your vows to the Lord and pay your vows to the Lord. And let's, from this night on, let's do a great thing for God. Let's do a great thing. You might say, I'm tired, Brother Pike. I'm sure you are. I'm tired. But as some of them said the other morning, not having sleep for many hours, along with myself, I said, we're not really tired. We still have plenty of strength going on. God still blesses us. We were laughing and talking. See, God gives that extra strength. He'll give it to you. All right, while you're standing here, while you're thinking these things over, I'm going to ask Brother Maurice Allen, who also weathered the storm with us the other night, to come up and pray. And while Maurice is coming, I want you to think of this. Please think of this, because I'm telling you a lot of things Brother Pike's not saying to you. Great, mighty spiritual things are happening in the spirit right now. I'm telling the truth, so help me God. I'm watching them. And I'd just love to take all night long talking to you about these things, but I know you have to have your natural rest. You have natural obligations, and I know that even though you would love to hear these things, I know you'll get restless. God bless these people that come up out of Florida. I think this is wonderful. It's so wonderful to have these people with us. Tonight, God giving me strength to pray. I'm going to pray a special blessing out of heaven on these people, that God will bless them for coming so far and doing this. You know, the minister has the power to bless. He has the power to curse. Certainly, a person wants to bless their own children, especially people that would come so far to listen to the gospel. Let's pray and let's believe together. And let the blessings of the Lord be upon you. You're my children, and I want you to be blessed. Let's do something. Stand with me. And as David of old, be one of the outstanding men. Some didn't measure up to the first, but he had other men that were great. And some of those that were first, they were mighty men like David. They walked side by side where his footsteps was, so was theirs. And Jesus is our great, mighty captain. He's our mighty warrior. And there's very few men that can walk where he walked, to follow in his steps. Blood trail, blood trail. But nevertheless, he said, everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. Follow me. Take up your cross, suffering. Follow me. And very few men can walk side by side with him, only in his strength, his power. But there are some that walk with him. On the mountain of transfiguration appeared Moses and Elijah standing by side. Revelation speaks of 24 kings that will be seated around the throne with him. He said to his disciples, 12 thrones for you that walk side by side with me. You that have endured with me, you that have been with me through the regeneration. He said, I have 12 thrones for you. And when I sit on my throne, you're going to sit on the throne beside me, ruling. And he said to others, you're going to be over 10 cities, 5 cities, great mighty kings that will come in through the gates of that great city and throw their crowns down at his feet to show that he's Lord of lords and King of kings. Great mighty people. For he hath made us, the Bible tells us, he hath made us priests and kings under our God. All right, while Brother Morris comes to pray, please remember me and Sister Betty. We need your prayers, not only for the home front, but when we go abroad, we desperately need your prayers. So remember us in these things, that we might be able to remember you.